This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
For our next story, it's also one that has been on our minds a lot because obviously when Datuk Lee Chong Wei announced his retirement last week, and this is following on from Datuk Nicole David also announcing her retirement very recently, the question has come up, who is the next to take that throne and represent Malaysia within the global sporting community?
Yaqob, or the National Athletes Welfare Foundation, spoke to Free Malaysia Today and highlighted several challenges in identifying and grooming future athletes. Its general manager, Zuhairi Abdul Manaf, pointed to reasons like limited resources and coaches.
So when it comes to resources, he said that sports associations have limited funds and cannot be the only place to identify new athletes. Zuhairi said that all parties, whether it's parents, schools, coaches, everyone needs to be involved in the process.
And on the matter of coaches, he said that coaches need to match the athlete's skill level to properly train and prep them for higher level competitions. The blocker there is coaches who just refuse to let go of those they had trained due to sentimental reasons or the desire to share in the athlete's fame.
Zuhairi also noted that it takes a lot of time to train athletes. They need to start at a young age, and it will take between 5 to 15 years to produce another Chong Wei or another Nicole David. I suppose whenever we have talked about the retirement of our greats, there is always a real sense of grief, not just at the fact that we won't see them on the courts anymore, but then also, oh no, what's next?
We're out of the world map, right?
It's how it feels. And understandably, for a country that is actually in many ways pretty sports obsessed, we love our sports. We love watching it. We love talking about it. It's a major part of our of schools, you know, and how we actually hang out with one another as well. It's a hugely important thing for us. And yet, I think that sense of enthusiasm feeds the disappointment that we don't have another world beater. And we look around and we're like, well, when was the last time we had someone that looked like they were going to kind of make it? And it is important, therefore, I think, to identify the challenges as to why that might be.
But sometimes the issue is also the fact that the enthusiasm doesn't necessarily spread to parents, spread to teachers wanting their kids to focus and have a professional sporting career. But that might not necessarily even be the fault of these individuals, right? It might just be the fault of the system where, you know, if you turn out to be above average as an athlete, if you turn out to be just slightly better than everyone else, the fall from not landing a great career is very, very painful. You know, you end up not having any other skill. You end up leaving the industry with no, you know, there isn't a safe landing for you if you fail at that career.
Even if you do very well at that career, I mean, we've seen here as well as elsewhere, a lot of former world beaters, a lot of former kings who perhaps did not spend their money wisely. Mm-hmm. And because it is a very short career path, really, you know, for you to get those sponsorships, for you to max out those winnings that you receive, not everybody is going to be a David Beckham. You know, that's really kind of an exceptional case where, firstly, I mean, how long did he extend his playing career? But also on top of that, the fact that because of, you know, everything Beckham-y about him, he managed to continue that funding, that sponsorship, his lifestyle, and extend that to other things. Not everyone has that kind of planning.
Yeah, and with the government and on the note of limited resources, do all sports necessarily get adequate and equal funding, or do we wait until a star emerges through many, many, many challenges and then only decide to pump funds into it? You know, for example, we hear a lot about our rugby players, but they're not necessarily getting a good amount of funding.
So talk to us about this. I mean, how would you like to see more star athletes being encouraged in Malaysia? Are you optimistic that we're going to get our next great world number one in whatever sport it may be? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us, though, is Harish Deal, longtime sports journalist and editor of 2213 News, also co-host of Bar None, which is our show that's dedicated to sports. You can look that up on our app as well as our website if you're interested in kind of looking at the entire backlog of the podcasts.
And on Spotify too.
Yes. Harish, thanks for joining us. So from what you've observed, is it difficult to find fresh talent in sports?
It's not difficult. I think the question should be, are we doing enough to find talent? Because clearly we aren't. If we have done so in the past, and continuously embark on a program where we would see talents come in, you know, into the sporting scene on a weekly, monthly, or even yearly basis, we will not be even having this conversation. We'll be saying that which of these athletes would actually be winning the gold at the Olympics. But sadly, we don't seem to have a proper program to scout, to unearth, to mold talents. A lot of stakeholders will say they are doing a lot of initiatives, but it's not reflected at the end of the day.
And could you just elaborate on that? You know, how are we just looking for talent at the moment?
What happens right now is, you see, you go to school, you pick up a sport, you play it at the school level. So what happens at the school or in the school is basically comes under the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Education. Now, if you are good and you're still in school, there would be a possibility where you would enroll into the Bukit Jalil Sports School, or perhaps you will opt out from that school and you may go to a school which is dedicated to a certain school. So that's how the structure is at the moment. Now, why do I bring that up is because when you have school level competition, the Ministry of Education will claim that these students are theirs. So they would naturally want the best students to compete in any education-related sporting activities, whether in the country or regionally, or even at the international level. That is where the problem begins, because the Youth and Sports Ministry then would want the best athletes to represent the country at other events. We've seen such problems in the past whereby students are not allowed to compete in certain events because it comes under differing jurisdiction of the ministry, that is. That's one. Number two, we are overly reliant on what happens in schools, but our school teachers, they especially those who, you know, teach physical education, are they good enough to coach? Now, we must be mindful that the best coaches should naturally come from schools, not at the higher level, because the basics are very, very important, and we don't see the basics being emphasized at schools. I mean, you know how it was like during PE. You know, take a ball, go kick a ball, and you know, your 45 minutes is up. That's about it. But where is the learning process, the education process? Now, how many school teachers are actually qualified coaches? And how many of our students actually embark on extracurricular activities where there are qualified coaches teaching them? No point teaching them when they're 18, 19, 20. It has to start when they first start kicking a ball or when they are, you know, young. That's where the real education begins.
So what would a more integrated, comprehensive approach look like?
It's simple. You see, I am a firm believer of a club structure. So why I say so is because when you have clubs, you see a different kind of participation. You see the society participating in sports. It's not exclusive to just sports in school or sports at, you know, at the national level. You see, whenever we talk about sports in Malaysia, it's always about the elite athletes. We often forget that there are a lot of sportsmen out there at the community level, at the lower level, at the grassroots level. And sports is not just defined by the people who play sports. Sports also involves the officials. I mean, the administrators, the fans, all these people make sports. So we need to have a structure. And I believe, strongly believe in a club-based structure, simply because you would then grow with the club. It's not within school where after 17, you leave school and then what happens? Most of the time we face that situation. Our juniors are really good at the regional or even international level at the school when they are in school. But the minute they graduate and they go to universities and start working, where do they go? We've had a world junior champion in the form of badminton, yeah? In the form of Fadli Zulkifli. What happened to him? So why I stress club is because club will ensure continuity. Regardless whether you're 6 or 60, you're part of a club, you've got a chance to actually grow with the club and chance to participate. So it becomes more club-based, and clubs really ensure sustainability in a sense that you don't have to hunger or beg for funds from the government. So when you have a club, when you run a club, you run it like a proper entity. And that works, to me, that is.
As we mentioned earlier, Zuhairi Abdulmanaf of Yakib was quoted by FMT saying that sometimes there are disputes among coaches over athletes, which prevents the development, well, of athletes. Is this common? And perhaps you could tell us about how important that relationship and process of growing together is.
Grooming process is important. And like I said earlier, it goes back to the grassroots. When you get the right coaches, you get to spot the right talent. So it boils down back to what happens at the lower levels. No point talking about the national level. We are too fixated. I believe this country is just too fixated at the top. We forget the process of going from down to top. So that's the biggest problem. Everyone gets excited about what happens at the top. You know, our football team. I mean, obviously our football team, our badminton team, you know, we are not getting the results that we hunger. It's simply because just look at the lower levels. How many state associations actually run leagues for their respective sports? You'd be surprised. Even badminton, for example, it's said to be the second most popular sport in the country after football. Yet, there are no leagues at the state level for some states. Some states are even inactive. That's the sad reality. And you can't expect the national body is supposed to be an umbrella body. They are supposed to organize events. They are supposed to help guide the state association. Here, it's the other way around. They are pretty much doing everything. So can you really blame them when something does not work? And when we are talking about state, what about the district level? What about the zonal level? Like in Kuala Lumpur, we have zones. Schools are distributed based on zones. Zone Sentul, Zone Keramat, Zone Pudu, Zone Bangsa. So what's happening at this zonal level? You know, in school, these days, it's all carnival-like format, whereby hockey matches are played within 30 minutes. A classic example would be a child from a school which is not so good in hockey would play 30 minutes, perhaps a maximum of 3 games. That means 90 minutes of hockey, and he's done for the whole year. So how do you spot talent? I think the Avengers was much more longer than 90 minutes, right?
On that subject, though, of spotting talent, you've mentioned a few times that we need to stop focusing only on the elites when it comes to sports. So when we look at Lee Chong Wei, then, what is the role of retired athletes like him, who were elite athletes in their prime, in uncovering and encouraging fresh talent?
Retired athletes have got so much to offer. The problem is that a lot of our sports administrators do not see their potential. They can play ambassador. They can help to market the sport better. Marketing the sport would mean monetizing the sport. Monetizing would mean not selling the sport, but as in ensuring that some form of funding enters into the sport, whether at the grassroots or whether at the higher level. Now, when I say ambassadors, I would love to see our kids grow up knowing each and every badminton player who's played for the country, not just by generation. You may talk about Lee Chong Wei, but what about the badminton stars of the yesteryear? It's the same with football. It's the same with all the other sports. I mean, I don't need to go so far, but, you know, do we even know who Mo Siu Wei is? Or Nurafila Khalid? And these players are not so, you know, they just retired like perhaps 10 years, 12 years ago. And many of us don't even remember them. So that shows that, you know, how much we know about sports. So what I'm trying to say is that these retired athletes can help in so many ways. I think Chong Wei, him offering himself to be the sparring partner for those who, to help the younger shuttlers qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, I think that itself is already another form of, you know, assisting the sport, being part of the team in a way.
Harish, thanks for speaking with us. That was Harish Deal, editor of 2213 News. Again, you can catch more of Harish together with Daryl Ong on Bar None, which airs Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. And there's a lot to take away from that. It sounds as if there's going to be a need for, in some segments, just an entire systematic and systemic overhaul.
I mean, to be fair to the current government, they are trying out some things. You know, they've recently introduced healthcare schemes for active and retired athletes. They've also created programs that would let athletes go through more flexible degree programs, and I think that's called the One State, One University. And they also have track programs for athletes to transition from the racetrack to a career track. So they are trying, but perhaps in smaller measures as opposed to a more comprehensive overall plan, which is what Harish said, that that's what we need essentially.
CG on WhatsApp says, star sportsmen, like politicians, we don't have a backup plan. That's why Dr. M needs to be prime minister again. It's just such a dark view. Such a dark view. And also, unlike Tun Mahathir, who kind of re-emerged to the strains of patriotic music, we're not going to get Lee Chong Wei back. Not in that same way, no.
Though, you know, in that interview in FMT, it is interesting that one of the things that they brought up was this one retired bowling ball athlete had to keep coming back to play on the national, or rather international level, because we just don't have any other talent. So it is happening.
Yes, it is. Oh, okay. If you have any thoughts to share, whether it is on the subject of Piquea or on how we can kind of encourage and find our next star athletes, call us 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole Fikir Mandalam, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
We're looking at some messages that have come through about trying to get the best out of our sporting talent pool in the country. First up, this from Drew Jaffa, who says, I agree that clubs need to play a big part in grooming the next talent for any sport, but there needs to be a comprehensive way to manage those clubs and the way that they make those selections. My son plays a sport on a national and international level. He's also part of a state club. Yes, there are many tournaments that he could participate in, but there's also a ranking for the players. And it's sad to say, when making selections for players that will play at the national level, they're made without giving much attention to the actual rankings of those players. So the integrity is flawed when the players are not based on the entire rankings. So you're talking about flag bearers for the club, you know, being chosen despite being actually lower ranked compared to others. Mm-hmm. And the sports ministry then accepts the selection in good faith. Basically, this whole system just needs to be re-looked at. And I think that that's a really interesting point.
All very good points. And I think this, you would have a very close relationship to it, seeing that she is in some way involved with the system.
Yeah. And on top of that, there is also this point about how senior representatives of the sport might not necessarily be the best representatives. Because if you're an elite player, quote unquote, but you haven't had the best record at winning, then perhaps it's time, you know, that...
Give way.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And I think that's very, very important. We also have this from Yuki.
One huge way we can really uncover talents to be potential stars of tomorrow is to stop racism in sports. Enough of drafting players into clubs, academies, or sports schools based on skin color, especially in team sports like football. Equal opportunity for all, more talents to discover.
Keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, and you could do that also.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.